That's heading us into our interview with Stano, who is a name that runs through the 80s and 90s in Ireland and especially in Europe as well, synonymous with sonic experimentalism and an eclectic output. As interested in new forms as he is in a versatile producer, Stano can turn his hand to punk, industrial, electronic rock, and in later years, drum and bass and beyond. He is an avant-garde post-punkist, an artist who delved into production technologies which have allowed him to warp and mould raw audio into a shape of his choosing. Stano is interested in rediscovering the power of the shared experience of music and storytelling, of listening, of allowing our imagination to bring us on our own journey while engaging with the voice of the storyteller. And In Between Silence does this. In Between Silence launched at the International Literature Festival Dublin and made its North American debut with a three-week run in the Barrow Street Theatre, New York. This is an ongoing collection of now over 150 stories played worldwide. Here to tell us more are Stano and Denise Dunphy, the producer, editor and recorder of All the Stories. Welcome to our feed.
Hi, Maxie. How are you? Good to be here.
So first of all, Stano, I just played one of your tracks, Memory Distorts a Life. What a beautiful title. Can you tell us more about this tune? And you did say it's one of your short pieces.
Yeah, some of the pieces can be up to 27 minutes long. So I don't really worry about song length. I just follow the way the music is going to evolve. So, you know, I'm a studio-based musician, so experimenting all the time. The way I work is I bring in musicians and I make a pre sort of soundscape track, and I throw musicians on one by one, different styles, and just see what I like and what I pick out the bits that I like, and then it's like a collage. I put it together, so that's how I build the tracks.
And how old is that track?
That's 2011.
Okay, so pretty kind of new, you're well known, especially in your home country of Ireland. Tell us about your early years in music and punk. What was the impetus for you to make music?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, tracing it back, I was writing poetry when I was about 15, and then I had two tape recorders, which I used to tape onto one tape recorder and bounce onto another tape recorder. So I used to tape a lot of found sound, and I didn't realise at the time, people said it's a new form of music. It was called music concrete. And then in 1975 I picked up an album by Patti Smith, and then about a month or two later, I think, I was listening to John Peel on the BBC and he played The Damned, New Rose. So that sort of sparked my interest in punk. So I just like the attitude of it, and like, be yourself and be original. So that's when I joined my first band called The Threat. And how that came about was I used to sit at the back door of the band when they were rehearsing, and I got to know the band a bit, and then a few band members left. So I used to sit there and listen to the guitar player, and eventually I bought one of the tape recorders up with me and start taping them. And I go back the next day and say, look, have a look at this riff and have a look at this melody. And then that's how I used to start piecing songs together. So that's, you know, initially how, you know, I became a producer, I suppose.
I love that collage, bricolage aesthetic that you've got in your music, the early remixing.
Yeah.
I love that. So then from these punk years, how did you then develop into music storytelling and the experience of listening? How did that become? And you can, Denise, pitch in any time you want to hear as well. How did that come about?
Well, my first single, Room, which was in 1982, that was a grand piano and a drum machine and spoken word. So that's when my early bits of poetry would start coming into play then. And then it just developed from there. Like, the album contains electronica, folk, experimental, spoken word, you know, classical stuff. So I was always, it would be dictated by the musicians I meet. So I'd meet somebody in a pub or I'd go to a gig and I'd approach them. And it didn't really matter what genre of music they were playing, if I liked what they did. And a lot of the times I'd have a conversation with someone and I wouldn't even hear them playing the instrument, but, you know, there'd be an energy about them and I'd click with them. So I'd bring them to the studio not knowing how good they were. But I was, you know, sometimes I get a minute or 30 seconds, but I could get only 10 seconds of music. So that's the sort of way it's like, you know, I'd paint as well. So it's a matter of layering and pulling stuff apart and just really seeing what combinations of different musicians, you know, where they clash and they intersect is what I'm interested in.
That's beautiful. We are talking to Stano and Denise about In Between Silence. We'll be back with you in just a second. And you are on Artbeat, and we are talking to Stano and Denise Dunphy about In Between Silence. So, Denise, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in In Between Silence?
Well, I suppose myself and Stano have been together for a very long time. So I worked in film as a film lecturer in a university in Ireland for a long time. But sound was my sort of area of expertise. So we've always sort of, you know, worked. He does all his music on his own, but I would be a buffer for him for a lot of stuff. So when In Between Silence started, it started by chance. Stano's friend, whom he painted with, John Duffy, he was ill and he had always said he'd like to be in the studio with Stano and he never made it in. So just John got very ill. He had leukemia and about 6 weeks before he passed away, Stano went up to have a chat with him and see what he could do. And John said it was his biggest regret he was never in the studio with him because he used to write. So so Stano then said to him, "Oh, I'm working on a spoken word album, John. Have you got something?" Of course, he wasn't at all. So so he created two pieces of music for John. And he came to the studio and he read some of his end-of-life writings, which were extraordinarily powerful pieces of work. So he had a whole book with him. And Stano said, "Just read for as long as you have energy," which he did. So after John died very shortly afterwards, and he was a Ballymun artist. Ballymun is a working class area in Dublin. They have a great art centre. So the art centre wanted to put on an exhibition of John's work. And the arts office in Dublin had discovered that Stano had the recordings and said, "Could you make it into a CD and we can sell it to support the family?" Which he did. So when the exhibition was on, it was very easy to display John's paintings. But we thought, how will we get people to really engage with his words? And I had the idea of, they have a lovely theatre there. And I thought, if I cut the stories into a film. So, and just at the start, it was just the title of each piece. And at the end, one of John's paintings appeared and everyone would sit in the darkness and it would just be a black screen and everyone in the dark in between. And when at the end of the show, when the lights came up, we had all these very tough guys and people that were, you know, wouldn't ordinarily be in a theatre, a lot of John's friends, and they were all crying. And they said, "Oh, we've never experienced anything like that before." And we realised that the darkness allowed them to express how they felt. Because if the lights were on, they would have been very self-conscious. And yes, it was an extraordinary, extraordinary thing to experience. And then people started to approach Stano. And people trust Stano in the way that he works because he's very true to the person's story. So yeah. So that's how it actually started. And it's grown and grown and grown. And everywhere we go, people want to contribute to stories. Yeah.
So beautiful. I'm going to come back to that idea of the darkness because that is quite important to what you are doing.
Yes.
So you marry music, storytelling and listening. And you have grown and developed this In Between Silence. And Irish novelist and dramatist and screenwriter Roddy Doyle and Irish novelist Joseph O'Connor said of their experience recording their stories that In Between Silence, that Stano has created a new art form. How do you, Stano, describe this art form? Do you call it an art form? Do you call it music? What do you call it?
I think as Irish people, we were always telling stories. And the way I describe it on a couple of interviews, I said that maybe 100 years ago in Ireland, and we would have sat around a fire, a log fire, and the crackle of the fire would have been the music. So when people come to, just to say, when people come to the studio, I make music for them. I meet the person and I get an idea about what kind of track I'm going to make for them. But when they come to the studio, they don't hear the music and I don't hear the story. And it's done in one take and we don't edit the stories. So there's a level of trust between me and the writer. So like Roddy Doyle, when he came to the studio, he said normally he wouldn't work like this and he wouldn't sort of, you know, the story is about his mother walking along the street, and he said if that was his own work, he'd edit and re-edit it. But these stories are just like conversations that you have with, you know, people. And we found them to be, you know, very personal and very sort of, you know, they're just sort of, that's very descriptive, or it is a film running in your head. So the first time I brought a track home to Denise and played it, there was an artist called Brian Palm, and he was in the studio with me on recording a totally different piece of music. And he just said, me and my wife Mary were travelling across America and we stopped off at this Indian reservation. So I said to him, look, don't tell me the rest of the story. But I had been working on tracks with a Dutch guitar player, Gene Rabs, and I was experimenting with different tunings. And Brian went in and just spoke the story across the piece of music. And I knew in that moment, I took it home, played it to Denise, that something special had happened. So it was purely by accident how it developed.
And listeners, so imagine being in a dark space and listening in that dark space, which is a cinema. And you're often experiencing visuals, but in this space you're experiencing darkness and storytelling with a tiny bit of visual. And it takes me back to director Peter Greenway, the famous director who came and gave a talk here in Perth years ago, and he was talking about the death of cinema. And when I was teaching screen techs at university, we also talked a lot about the audience and the experience of the audience and the importance of that theatrical experience, being yes. in the dark and that shared experience. And I think that is what's so unique to one of the elements, apart from the story, that's mm-hmm. so unique to In Between the Silence. Would you agree?
Yeah, a lot of people have said, oh, you should people need to hear these, you should share them, you should make a podcast. But really, I know people do get the sense of them in a podcast, but there's a whole thing about being together and listening. And because these stories are very personal sort of stories, and some of them are very moving, it's important that we have the collective experience, because we're all listening to the same words, but we're experiencing it in our own way. And as Stanley says, it is like your own movie in your head. But also, we discovered over the years that really our stories are the universal story. You know, we all understand the human experience. So if it's important to me, it's important to you. And if it impacts on me, it impacts on you. And the impact on audiences has been fantastic. And the darkness definitely allows people to feel that. Theo Dorgan, an Irish poet, he said it was the most visual experience he ever had in the dark.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And Denise, so why are stories so important? Again, I just want to emphasise that. And you actually tell one of the stories in one of the series.
Yes.
How was that experience for you?
It was a very interesting experience, because my story is about my late brother. And I had always wanted to do something, to say something about him. And Stano kept saying to me as the project was developing, when are you going to tell your story? I kept putting it off. So he came in one Sunday and he said, you're doing your story tomorrow. So I had to start putting all my jumbled thoughts that I had in my head together. And it was really interesting because I realised through the telling of the story that it was about my brother, but it was really actually about my mother. But I didn't know that until I got into the studio and the music started and I started to speak that really the thread that I was thinking, the connection I had with my brother, was really the connection that we both had, you know, with our mother. And that was a real revelation to me, because I'm not a writer. And probably writers go through that process all the time. They start at one idea and they end up somewhere else. But it really helped me because I needed to say it. And people seem to respond to it as well. So I think it's really important. And what people say at screenings is that Stano's creating a space where things that aren't usually talked about can be spoken about. And it's a safe place for people to actually express things. And it's, you know, we meet people sometimes who've never, ever, ever said what happened to them. And they feel that they can. And even in the audience members in the during the Q&A afterwards, they will talk about the impact of the stories on them. So I think it's really important to create that space for people.
You're with Maxie on Artbeat, and we're talking to Stano and Denise about In Between Silence. And just before we do play one of the interviews, I just want to ask you one more question. So you have a collection of stories already created in the house in Bull Library, University College Cork, alongside porcelain books which accompany the collection. So great for future generations. What are you doing in Perth apart from showing In Between Silence? Are you taking some stories, and where are you going to go from here?
Yes, we're definitely looking forward to recording some stories, and we have done some recording already, and we're looking forward to recording more stories in Perth. When we were here last year, we did record some stories from members of the Aboriginal community who've become close friends, and so we're really looking forward to that. We're just getting stories from people who have a good story to tell. So the collection goes on, and that's as it should be. And the reason that University College Cork are interested in having the stories in their collection, they sort of view it as like a social archive of stories of our time, which is really interesting. And also, at the screening we had for John Duffy, there was a young man there, and he'd lost his mum when he was five. And he said, people think when someone is gone, what you need is the photograph. But he said, it's not, it's their voice. Because he didn't remember his mum's voice, and there were no recordings. So I think there's something very important. And the porcelain book then is like a very physical part of the storytelling process as well.
So we have enough time just before the news to play your piece, He Said His Name, But I Forgot His Name. Stano, can you just introduce this piece?
Yeah, it's a track by the actor Aidan Gill. And he is sort of... Sorry, it's a track by the actor Aidan Gill. He came to the studio one day with a different story, but ended up telling this story.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Aidan said as he went into the studio, what's Roddy Doyle's story about? And he said, it's about an old man. He said, I have a story about an old man. And Stano said, tell me that one. So this is completely off the top of his head.
We have been talking to Stano and Denise, both from Dublin, Ireland, about In Between Silence, a collection of intimate personal stories. It's on for two nights only at Luna Leaderville, Tuesday 17th, which I believe is sold out.
Yes.
And Wednesday 24th of September.
Tuesday 24th, so two Tuesdays. The 17th and Tuesday 24th. Two different sets of stories on each night.
Yeah. So come to both. Oh, no, well, one sold out. Tickets are on Human Ticks, although getting quick...